is dancing to the Black Eyed Peas. She's hysterical, much better than Regis and what's-her-name. I wish I could get up and boogie with her, but I've learned my lesson after yesterday's misadventure to the bathroom. Bob left for work over an hour ago, and now my mother is here, hovering next to me in her chair. She's wearing a lavender fleece sweatsuit and white New Balance sneakers. She looks like she's ready for a jog or an aerobics class at a gym. I doubt she's ever done either. I catch her watching me instead of Ellen, and I feel like I just made eye contact with a cornered sparrow. She looks down and inspects her sneakers, shifts in her chair, turns to see what's going on outside the window, shifts in her chair, throws me a skittish glance, darts her focus to the TV, and fusses with her hair. She needs some sort of project. Mom, will you go get me a hat? Which one? I have only one non-ski hat that I can think of, a huge straw sun hat, but I'm clearly not on a tropical vacation or sitting poolside. I own plenty of bandanas and scarves and could use one of those to cover my head, but I don't want to look like a cancer patient. I want to look normal, like someone who could theoretically go back to work in 2 weeks, and I don't want to scare the kids. Can you go buy me one? Where? The Prudential Mall? She blinks a few times. I know she wants a way out of this proposed field trip. I don't know where that is. I don't know what kind you want. I don't want to lose my seat. I need an address, she says. 800 Boylston Street. Are you sure that's right? Yes, I work there. I thought you worked at some business company. She says that like she's busted me in a big lie, like I really work at the Gap, just as she suspected all along. Berkeley's in the mall. Oh, I wish I could go myself. I'd pick out something hip and pretty at Neiman Marcus or Saks Fifth Avenue, and then I'd swing into work, check in with Jessica and Richard, find out what's going on with staff evaluations, correct any misguided decisions Carson is making about our next generation of consultants, and maybe sit in on a meeting or two before coming back. But you have therapy in a few minutes, she says. You can miss it. I need to see what they do so I can help you. I really need a hat before the kids get here. I don't want them to see me like this, and there might be traffic. You can sit in on therapy tomorrow. Or the next day, or the day after that. You sure? She asks. Yes, really. 800 Boylston Street, she says. You got it. And you'll tell me what happened in therapy when I get back. I'll fill you in on everything. Or at least half of everything. My mother writes the address down on a receipt she finds in her pocketbook. I reassure her that she has the exact address 2 more times, and she finally leaves. I relax and return to watching Ellen. She's smiling and chatting with someone named Jim. He sounds like Jim Carrey. After a couple of minutes, it occurs to me that I should be able to see Jim Carrey, but I can't. I try, but I still can't. I can only see Ellen. What if I can't ever see who Ellen's talking to? What if rehabilitation doesn't work? What if this never goes away? What if I can't ever go back to work? I can't live like this. I don't want to watch Ellen anymore. I look out the window. It's a clear, sunny day, and in the glary reflection, I see my hideous bald head. I don't want to look at me anymore, but it's either Ellen, my hideous bald head, or the prison. Ellen's guest, whoever he is, says something that cracks her up, and Ellen laughs as I close my eyes and cry.